Last week we talked some about how many people prepare for Advent and Christmas. The custom in many homes, of course, is to go out into a tree farm or back in your own woods or a neighbor's woods or visit a place like where Kiwanis up the road here is selling Christmas trees. And after you choose a tree, you put it in the stand, position it just right, and then you put the lights on. And that brightens the area and the entire room in which it stands. Stringing the lights and positioning them evenly is not as easy as it sounds. I can attest to that because after arranging the lights in our tree and turning them on, my wife found that they were not distributed evenly, and we had to make some adjustments. Okay? You may have had that experience. You may turn the lights on and find there's too many at the top and too few at the bottom, or vice versa. There's too few at the top and too many at the bottom. This is one problem that can be solved easily enough. And we've done this in the past, just go out and buy more strings of lights. The more lights you buy, the brighter the tree is, right? A well-lit Christmas tree brings joy to a darkened room. And it's so much better than a single light by itself. When you have hundreds of lights on a tree, and we do, and I would assume most of you do too, it sort of fills the room with a brilliant glow. It was the first thing that someone coming over to help with the housekeeping came in today and commented on the tree in the family room. Caught her eye right away. Last week also, and I'm tying us in with the last week because our three messages are related. And you can look at them as three different messages, or there is a flow among the three of them. And last week we heard Paul speak of being prepared for Christ, the light of the world. Now our text tonight is a little different. We read Paul's conclusions after dealing with various quarrels and differences among the Christians in Rome. There are Christians who thought that as Christians we can eat anything we want, while others believed that they should only eat vegetables. Some of the early church wanted to keep on attending the Old Testament festivals, while others did not. Paul wrote and wanted to try to settle these disputes and have them accept one another and their different views, while he stressed the unity that they should be enjoying. Many lights are brighter when they are together. And that's so in the church also. I was surprised recently when a friend that I have, who I thought was doing really well, told me that he was not doing well at all. He told me he had a lot of stress and worries in his life. I think he has a lot of company. I think there's even some company for him in this congregation, because even in what I consider a good congregation like this one, as many of us grow older, there are worries. And there is stress over changes in our life that are taking place. What keeps us going? What keeps us going is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the same hope Paul stressed for the Romans. It's the same hope that kept people that went before us going. Will keep us going today, and will keep those who believe in the Lord going tomorrow. This hope was first written about, of course, in the Old Testament scriptures. So Paul writes in Romans 15, and you heard it one time, but it fits in here. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now, to some people, hope seems, we hope, who knows. But ours, a Christian hope, is a sure hope, because that hope is in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the evidence that He is who He says He is overwhelming. And without this hope, we are like light strung together, hung on a tree, but disconnected from the source of power. When we look to ourselves as the main source of hope or the main source of power, we are headed for failure because we are totally unplugged. Without the hope we have in Christ, we would be different people. We would likely become part of the every man for himself mentality that is so prevalent today. On a dark night long ago in the North Atlantic, April 15, 1912 to be exact, the great ship named the Titanic was taking water and going down. I'm sure most or all of you know this. I bring it up because what a contrast there was between different groups on the ship. The orchestra was playing "Near My God to Thee" to help people focus on God and calm down. The interesting thing about this is the orchestra itself, by playing, faced almost certain death. Because while they were playing, the lifeboats were filling up people, and they didn't have enough boats for everyone. But it's very likely that many in that group knew Jesus and believed that after they died, they would see their Lord face to face. Makes a difference. Meanwhile, there was another group on board. Have you heard about them? They were acting much different. They were scrambling and pushing each other out of the way, desperate for one of the precious seats on the lifeboats. One man disguised himself as a woman so he could be on the first boats. They tried to send the women and the children first. So he dressed up like a woman so he could get on. Some tried to bribe their way to safety. People that were in there, "I'll give you this amount of money if you'll let me have your seat." That was certainly foolish. The people that didn't make it in were going to sink the money with them. It was absolutely worthless at the time. Me, me, me. It was all about me for some of the people that were on the Titanic that night. But those of us that know the Lord, we are the ones that can have hope in every situation. Those of us who appreciate the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross for our sins have the hope. We have received this hope through God's Word, and we don't take it lightly. Remember what Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount, quote, "Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We are the bright lights that God wants to shine this Christmas. We are not bright because of what we have done. We are bright because of what Jesus has done. And the more we cooperate and stand together, the more we will accomplish, and the more light will be brought into a world that is filled with darkness. One little candle is nice, but it doesn't attract much attention or accomplish very much. Together, we can accomplish tremendous things. And as we look to God's Word for instruction, we find many good things there that guide us and help us. But we also find countless examples of suffering and endurance. I am sure glad that God didn't put me back in the shoes of Jeremiah and put him up here in 2017. I wouldn't want to have exchanged places. He received criticism and opposition year after year. He was put through the physical persecution of beatings, imprisonment. He was even thrown into a muddy cistern. There was more. He had to compete with false prophets who only preached what the people wanted to hear. Nevertheless, Jeremiah persevered and kept proclaiming God's truth. In spite of all the persecution and rejection, Jeremiah was still able to write this, quote, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Jeremiah knew that if God is the source of your strength, you have enough, even in the middle of trouble and persecution. So let us be God's lights this Christmas. By our words and by our deeds, let us shine forth and proclaim the real story of Christmas and explain what it means. God kept His promise by sending His own Son Jesus, the light of the world, to save us. And He wishes for us to unite in His church. For many lights are brighter together. Amen.